Hey y'all, it's Garth.
The Big 615. You're going to hear the newest that country music has to offer. At the same time, you're going to hear the newest that the country classics have to offer. I want to hear the new single from George Strait, and I want to hear it right beside the new single from Luke Combs. That's the thing we call the Big 615.
Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. Or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
Are you ready?
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line. I am Roy Burton. Alongside me, as always, the Dark Horse candidate for the Philadelphia 76ers head coaching job, one Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing as always, as we say during this pandemic, this air quote Saturday morning, sir?
Oh, Roy, just another day in paradise of just, at least we added another fine human being to just wallow in this misery, because I really thought I was past being like, I don't know, just this franchise just getting me aggravated. But like I said, like, you could have lost that game 75 different ways. And I don't know, like, it would have just been like, I don't know, par for the course for the Sixers. But the 76 way is the only way the Sixers know how to lose a game, which is the worst scenario possible. Like, I mean, if you asked me, like, I don't know, give me 10 reasonable scenarios what happened, I wouldn't have picked what happened, which is they laid down, literally laid down. And not just in one game. They laid down in two games.
Yeah, when you said when they lost that game, I was going to ask you to be specific, because they kind of gave up the goods in two games. And I wasn't sure which game you were referring to specifically when it comes to this team. But we'll talk all about both games they lost with our very special guest. Again, the third man, as you guys know, of the Broad Street Line, our good friend Chris Stevens is joining us this week. Chris, how's it going, man?
Hey, Chris.
Chris Stevens, the man with the largest arms, the man that does the most harm. Rest in peace, this is a superstar, Billy Graham.
Yes.
Glad to be here, as always, you know, with you guys, because we have to have a state of the Sixers conversation, even though the state is pretty doggone messed up at this point.
Yes, this is the official state of the union address for the Philadelphia 76ers here on Philly Cam 106.5 FM, WPPM LP Philadelphia, or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for tuning in wherever and however you do so. We need to talk about this basketball team. We need to, and first of all, before I do anything, I need to formally apologize to the listeners of this program, because I basically guaranteed last week we're going to take care of business. In the past, because again,
Roy, by nature, you're an optimist. Like, I don't know, that's your
This is a team up 3-2. Take care of your business. Stop playing with your meat. I thought all of this stuff was in the past. This was me just speaking as a regular human being.
If you, like, I don't know, if you had to put a motto underneath the last 5 years of the Philadelphia 76ers, you would say the team that plays with their meat.
I don't understand. I thought it was a
Roy, I think you, like, you are one that you don't think the depths of hell can be reached. You did it with Ben Simmons, and like, I don't know.
Correct.
I thought you learned your lesson.
No.
But if you've learned about this franchise, the depths of hell keep sinking. Like, I don't know. You think rock bottom is – no. This is like when the rock bottom – Triple H and Shane onto the table. Like you didn't think rock bottom was possible. I don't think you've seen rock bottom yet.
Do you remember how good that team looked for long stretches of game five? Like game five, they looked like a pretty decent basketball team. And I'm like, all right, this team that I'm watching in game five of this series can't lose two of these games, one of them being at home. I was so sure of it. Again, I went to DraftKings. DraftKings took some of my summer money. I'm very upset about this. And now we need to discuss this with
But you also didn't think that someone could lay down in 2021 two out of three games also.
Well, you keep saying a person, but you need to be more specific when you
Ben
say who
Simmons.
When you say who was laying down because there were multiple people laying down.
No, I feel that, like, I don't know. Like, it's hard to, like, I don't know, categorize a collective group of players, because, like, I don't know, there's a lot of players. I think it is more than fair to say that this collection of basketball players are chokers. Period.
All right. Well, let's recap the events of the past two games, and I'm going to give the floor to Mr. Stevens because he has a very important. He told me before we came on here he has a very important number that we need to hear. I don't know if I want to hear it, but I think we need to hear it as a family so we can get past this. But let me put a bow. Let me go back. Let's go back in time. Let's get into the DeLorean and go back to Game Six, which seems like forever ago right now because the Sixers were up by 2 points with 5 minutes to go in the quarter in the game. Jason Tatum was literally 5 minutes away from being destroyed in Boston for the rest of his career, probably the rest of his life, again, because, again, Boston fans don't really need much. And Jason Tatum was 1-for-13 to start Game 6. And the Sixers had the lead. Of course, Jason Tatum goes crazy in the fourth quarter. The Celtics close the game on a 14-3 run. The Sixers, of course, in a closeout game, go full Sixers and score 13 points in the fourth quarter of a closeout game at home. And this is after they were down by 16 and came all the way back. They came all the way back and took the lead late in the game. But again, they did not have enough of the clutch gene to close that game out. Sixers lose Game 6. They shoot 36% again for the game in a closeout game at home, led in large part by the great telefriend to telefriend Tobias Harris, the sharpshooter himself, with 2 points on 1-of-7 shooting. So Game 6 was bad. Game 7, as Chris, as you mentioned, might have been even worse because – we got the 51 burger from Jason Tatum, most points ever in a Game 7 in the history of the NBA. Joel Embiid, 15 points. James Harden, 9 points, combined to shoot 8-for-29 in a closeout game. Joel Embiid, 3-for-16 with Al Horford as his primary defender. The Philadelphia 76ers, after their 13-point showing in the fourth quarter of Game 6, had 10 points in the third quarter of Game 7. Of course, that was, you know, just the biggest piece of all the mess. And then you got the little, you know, semi-unserious players like George Niang grabbing players' legs, you know, in the middle of the game. You got Ben Simmons throwing shade in on you at IG. And, of course, you just got just everybody just, again, wetting themselves. I don't know how a better way to say it. So we got a terrible performance in Game 6, a historically bad performance in Game 7. And now we are here where we are. And
I don't think you've – Roy, I don't think you've mentioned the worst part. They quit.
I'm saving that part, but I want to turn it over. I want to turn it over to Mr. Stevens. Chris Stevens is here with us, of course. He has his thoughts, and we all have our thoughts, but he has some very special numbers that he would like to share with the group today. So Mr. Stevens, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you all. And ladies and gentlemen, theys and dems listening to this podcast and radio show, this is gonna hurt, but the only way we can heal. Shout out to Brayford Wyatt, is that we put our heel gloves on and the hurt gloves on. The Philadelphia 76ers, since the beginning of the 2017-18 season, through the end of 2022-23, have won 300 games in the regular season. That is the second most in the NBA over that six-year span. The team that has won the most in that span, 315, has a championship, the Milwaukee Bucks. 9 teams in that span have won 260-plus games. There are only two that have not made a conference final. This moribund basketball team, and can you guys guess the other?
Have not made it, have won a bunch of games, but haven't made a conference final.
Oh, the Los Angeles Clippers.
They made it in 21.
Oh, geez.
So there was a team that had a shooting guard that had a beef about a Rookie of the Year award who is no longer there.
And they never made a conference finals. Yeah, the Utah Jazz.
So, yes, the Philadelphia 76ers are in company with the Utah Jazz for the biggest chokers of the last 6 years in the NBA. That's where we are at this point. And I want people to understand that Chris Stevens was a Glenn Rivers hater. Not going to lie to you. Doc used to do some strange things that would just be like, why do you have this one out here? Why is that one not playing? Why is Tyrese Maxey not shouldering more of the load offensively? Why is Paul Reed gathering mothballs? I'll say that Glenn had his faults, but for the alleged MVP of the league, the superstar guard past his prime who allegedly wants $45 to $50 million a year, and anybody who's going to give them that is definitely needs to be drug tested. And the $36 million man who a quote unquote already has his life after basketball planned out. When those dudes go full HAN, and if you're a Philly person, you know exactly what I mean by those by that acronym, when you go full H-A-N in a game seven, you've lost all goodwill in the city. And granted, you know, coaches are supposed to coach players up, but you can't make people want something more than they want it for themselves. That's a life lesson. That's not a basketball lesson. That's a life lesson. So Glenn could have, you know, risked more polyps on his throat, you know, trying to sound like, you know, Babe Ruth, you know, towards the end, and said, tried to cajole these guys into actually playing basketball, but they just do, like Mr. Domingo said, they quit. And I mean, if you get your butt kicked, there's no shame in getting your butt kicked if you give a good effort. But if you just sitting there, you know, just like, you know, Harden's thinking about the wings and fries at his favorite gentleman's club, and Embiid is thinking about how he probably should Amazon ship that MVP trophy to the Rocky Mountains. What can you do? What can you do?
And that's the thing that kind of, again, I'm not going to, you know, shoot Doc Rivers any bail or whatever like that, but in a game six, closeout game in game six at home, and in the closeout game in game seven, you have the MVP of the league. You have a man who won the assist title this year, for whatever it's worth. Doc Rivers is a markedly better coach than Joe Mazzulla. You really shouldn't need much more than that to win one of these two games. So, like, if I'm assigning, on this show we do the pie chart of blame. If I am assigning blame for this collapse of this year, most of that blame is going to Joel Embiid and James Harden. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I think so too. And what bothers me about, well, Harden, we knew that he was going to eventually, you know, just turn back into a Klumpkin. Shout out to Buddy Love. But the guy who people have literally fought for 9 years, because remember, people forget, he was drafted in 2014, sat out the first 2 years because of the feet problem. Mm-hmm. Missed a good two thirds of his rookie year with a knee injury. Then, you know, people have just been like, this guy's the future. People have defended Joel Embiid until he became indefensible. And that's what happened on Sunday. Like, this is a dude who literally undid 9 years of goodwill by just absolutely being baked by Al Horford, who literally is Fred Sanford with a sometime jump shot. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
I need to kind of figure out what happens. Well, we all need to figure out what happens next. But I think I need to kind of figure out, like, what happens when it comes to James Harden. And again, this kind of goes back to James Harden. Like, obviously the trade for Ben Simmons for James Harden, you know, worked out in the Sixers' favor because Ben Simmons is doing nothing. But I kind of need to figure out, because it looks like they're trying to, on some level, placate James Harden and try to say, all right, Doc Rivers is going, you know, maybe we can talk about a contract or whatever like that. But the fact of the matter is, James Harden is not going to get better. James Harden is not going to be that. Miss Chris, you said it yourself. Chris Domingo, you said it yourself. This team don't have the heart. They have the, again, you know, that meme on Twitter where you have the X-rays with the dogs, and there's no, you know, there's no dogs in their chest. James
Harden, I didn't put cats in there, but that's an insult to cats.
Yeah, that's an insult to cats. So I need to figure out, like, if they're going to go with James Harden, like clearly PJ Tucker himself said, yo, this team ain't no toughness, whatever. Like, you didn't have toughness last year. That's why you got PJ Tucker. You brought him in. You still don't have toughness. And if you're going to placate James Harden, which I don't think you should do, but if you do, where is this toughness coming from? Because it ain't coming from anybody on this team, right? You can't just get this toughness, Chris, can you? Chris Domingo?
No, I feel that the reason why they're placating him is they don't have any options. They're SOL. They, like, it's either this or nothing. Like, because Houston has zero incentive to do a sign and trade with you. They have enough cap room to outright sign Harden. I mean, like, so why would they do you any favors? They already have that fourth pick. Like, I don't know. So, like, I don't, like, that's one of these things where I think, and I mean, there's obviously, like, I don't know, like, for some reason, Daryl Morey loves James Harden. I mean, like, he'll, for anyone that said James Harden quit in game seven, he'd be like, they wouldn't have won. I mean, what's the most damning is a guy you don't even want anymore won you more games in the playoffs than the MVP, period.
James Harden in the fourth quarters of the last three playoff games, 0 points, which is the same amount of points that Ben Simmons had in the last three quarters of his last three-fourth quarters of his last three playoff games with this basketball team. James Harden, according to reports, was allegedly called out by Doc Rivers in front of his team for his extracurricular activity, off-day activities. James Harden, in his defense, did take less money so the Sixers could sign P.J. Tucker and a couple other pieces and have a little bit more toughness. But as you said, James Harden appears to be the guy who Daryl Morey wants to hitch his wagon to. And I think I can speak for all three of us, that if that happens and if Daryl Morey gives this man a 4-year, $160 million deal, again, you're just signing your death certificate for the next four years. Chris Stevens, I think you would agree with that.
Chris, go.
Longer than that, because it doesn't matter what you do from this point out if you sign this dude long term, because you're not going to have the cap space to give it to anybody else, because Tyrese, because now you're putting yourself into a corner of if whatever Dame Lillard is doing out there in Portland, you know, because Dame Lillard is what people in relationships would say is staying for the kids. He's been staying for the kids with Portland forever. Mm-hmm. Now he's talking about, you know, if they want to trade me, people should put in a trade request. So now if you want to build this bootleg super team of the Beard, Embiid, and Dame, then you're absolutely going to have to part company with Tyrese Maxey, who absolutely should be the face of this franchise going forward. But, you know, signing Harden long term would just mean that by 2026, we're going to be processing again. I mean, we're talking, you know, I mean, we sat through 10-72. We sat through the legend that was Ish Smith, the legend that was Isaiah Cannon, and short stints of JaVale McGee and my boy Stephen A. Smith, Kwame Brown. We sat through all of these, man. I mean, and we're probably going to have to sit through it again in about another 3 years, because if you sign Harden to 4 years, $160, $200 million, and you're just absolutely saying, you know what? We're going to go down with the dude who literally just would rather be hanging out in concerts with Lil Baby than actually working on his conditioning and trying to figure out what the best game is for him to play since his offensive since his physical explosiveness is gone. So if Morey signs that, it's not a death certificate just through 2027. It's probably until, you know, we'll be eligible for Social Security, if Social Security is still around by that time, of course.
So is there a way, again, let's assume that they don't re-sign Harden. Let's say Harden walks. I don't care whether he goes to Houston or whatever. Let's say he just walks. We don't get anything back for him. Is there a way that the Sixers team can, I guess, is just next year just a wash completely? Like,
yes,
at that point?
Like, absolutely. Just,
okay, so there's nothing, because again, they don't have any cap space, so they can't really sign anybody. I think it's like some negligible amount of money. But is next year just like, we're just kind of like floating through the wilderness until Tobias Harris comes off the books? Is that basically all we're looking at next year? If Harden just walks?
Yeah, but I guess the important question is, what in the event that you re-sign Harden, who's here longer, Embiid or Harden?
Well, I would imagine that if you re-sign Harden, then I would imagine that you don't win again. And then Joel Embiid's like, look, I got to go.
No, I guess my follow-up question is, if you're going all in, like not all in, but if you're trying to cater this offense around this 34-year-old aging fastly point guard, where does this leave the MVP? Like, I don't know. Like, it's got to be an either or. If you're going to tailor an offense around the strengths of a 34-year point guard, that's got to mitigate Joel. And I don't know. Like, it just feels like, I don't know, just from the tea leaves and just everything, it feels like maybe Joel might be slightly – like, I don't know. They're starting to prepare for the, I don't know, not pushing out, but they're – that was not dumb. He knows this guy's going to – like, I don't know. He's like, okay, let's – we know that, like, I don't know. If we give James this max deal, he'll be fine for a couple years. But the clock's ticking on Joel asking for that trade. So why – like, I don't know, not lose – why lose both of them when you could just lose one of them?
Well, yeah, well, let me make a point. Thank you for bringing it up. Let me make a point. Like, all of the fallout, of course, from the Sixers not making it to the Eastern Conference Finals was that Doc Rivers was relieved of his duties earlier this week. The leading candidates for that job are Nick Nurse, Mike D'Antoni, Sam Cassell, Mike Budenholzer, Monty Williams, and Frank Vogel. I think I got all the guys. I might be missing the guy in that list.
There was a rumor floating around that one Jonathan Clay, a.k.a. Jerome Jamal Redick, was added to that list as well.
Yeah, I don't believe he's legitimately on that list. I've seen him on a few betting sites. Our good friend Jake Fisher, who's for Bleacher Report, I think that was that those six guys, I think, are the quote unquote finalists or the group for that. Part of the Doc Rivers thing, of course, being fired, of obviously is not for not winning, but part of it was, you know, according to Daryl Morey, was about the quote unquote fit of certain players. And according to Daryl Morey, quote, "We have a roster ready to win." So Daryl Morey likes these guys. He thinks that these guys are good enough to win basketball games. If you read between the lines, it seems like Daryl Morey, and he may be right on this and may not be right on this, you know, thinks that, you know, he needs to find, you know, an offensive minded coach who can better utilize James Harden. But, you know, Mr. Chris Domingo, as you said, if you quote unquote better utilize James Harden and make him the focal point of your offense, then you're taking the ball out of the MVP's hands. And then obviously Joel Embiid is not going to be happy unless you win. So placating the older guy who did not win the MVP is, as opposed to placating the younger MVP, is counterintuitive to me. But okay.
Importantly, should you be placating any of these guys?
Well, no, I mean, like, if I'm going to pick one, I'm going to pick Joel Embiid. But by that token, you know, when Joel Embiid said he was upset, or according to reports, he said he was upset when he heard about the Doc Rivers news. Well, you haven't earned the right to be told about these moves, because you haven't played well enough in the playoffs to earn the right for us to run stuff by you. Like, if the Bucks are going to do something, they'll run stuff by Giannis, all right? Because he has earned that right to be told about personnel moves. You, Joel Embiid, we've seen you, you know, after, you know, second round series after second round series, not deliver. So when you get upset by the coach being fired, that's really on you. So you should really expect it, because we all expected it. We all knew the Doc was going to get blown out if they didn't win, they didn't get past the Celtics in this series. So really, you shouldn't be surprised as well. I am curious, Chris Stevens, let me turn it to you. Those are probably the six candidates that we're dealing with. Out of that group, who is the one you want? Who is the guy you would like the most, and who is the person you would like the least?
The most? One, Tavares Montgomery Williams. Like, he's coached with us before. He's coached with the Sixers before. He literally was done wrong by injuries, number one, and DeAndre Ayton, who literally got, you know, embarrassed by a WNBA player on a podcast and just totally went into a shell afterwards. So I feel like he could be a one, not just from, you know, an X's and O's standpoint, but from a motivational standpoint. Because, I mean, the man is respected and loved around the league. You know, he's a guy that I feel like those folks would listen to. The least is, of course, Mr. 7 seconds or less. Because if you're going to build an offense around two dudes in 7 seconds or less, that neither can get up and down the floor in 7 seconds or less, you're just asking for trouble. So, yes, I would like Monty Williams first, and Mike D'Antoni would literally just have me, you know, finding something else to do with my time during the winter.
And I've said something similar to Chris, and now, Chris, I'll turn it over to you in a second. But, yeah, I just to add on that 7 seconds or less thing, Joel Embiid's, again, we could talk about the heart thing later, but Joel Embiid's other issue, or the issue that we haven't really talked about much yet, is conditioning. So you want this man to run up and down the court 82 games a year, 40 minutes a night, high-paced offense? That ain't going to work, Jack. Like, it's just not going to work, man. So unless Mike D'Antoni has a completely different offense that we've seen from him for 20 years of his life or 25 years of his life, I think that's a horrible fit. Chris, who do you like the most and least of that Sixers group?
Obviously, least is D'Antoni. I mean, if you hire D'Antoni, that means, like, the Embiid era, it has a ticking clock. Like, I don't know, like it's like under 5 minutes. So, and I think the league will see that. I feel like, I don't know, like, I'd like, for me, it's kind of like one and one B-ish C. I'll go Nick Nurse. He's won a title. Like, that's the biggest problem with this entire organization. They have zero people that have won anything. Like, I don't know. If you go down to Elton Brand, you go, like, they've never had anyone. Colangelo, Brett. Like, I mean, Brett's been part of the Spurs, but what, he was an assistant coach?
Well, Doc won a title. They didn't respect him.
Yeah, no. Well, no, but unfortunately, I feel like Doc's, like, career, like, I think people have forgotten about his Celtics career, because ever since he left there, he's been, frankly, a career loser. I mean, like, at, like, those Clippers teams, like, those Clippers teams are more of a disappointment that they never did anything than these Sixers teams. Those Clippers teams were stacked. I mean, like, I really feel like the one series that I will absolutely give Doc a good share of the blame is the Hawks series. I mean, other than the fact, like, obviously Simmons, but, like, even with that, you should have figured out a way to beat the Hawks. Like, I don't know. That was an inferior team that you just flat out lost to. Losing to the Celtics, I mean, I feel like you should have to motivate the B-ball Pauls and the Maxis of your team. You shouldn't have to motivate the Hardens and the Embiids. Like, and like that's where I like that's why I kind of give Monty Williams a break, because I mean, the team stopped listening to him, but frankly, I think like the best players stopped listening to him, and that sucks for like I don't know Monty, because like I don't know, he got them to a finals. It's just one of these things where, like, because Booker and Durant could have easily co-signed on Monty and he'd be the coach. Right. And he said no. So, and that's where I, but I feel he's a new voice guy where, like, he's got the stuff. But, like, maybe if he goes to another's – but my question is, does James Harden listen to any voice?
No, probably not. And that's the thing.
More importantly, to Joel Embiid. Because he's had two coaches – same, like, that's where, I mean, no one wants to talk about it, but we hear it every damn year. No, lack of mental toughness, lack of physical toughness. We've heard it during the Brett Brown era. We've heard it with the Colegio as a GM. Elton Brand is a GM. Brett Brown is a GM. More like, what's the consistent?
No, I mean, look, like the last 3 years, you know, before Doc, you know, second round exit. You know, got knocked out in the bubble in the first round, second round exit. Again, these last 3 years, three straight second round exits. The one variable that's been consistent the whole time is that dude in the middle. Now, again, I'm not saying that he's bad or not good, but maybe he's just not built for the moment. You know, maybe he's a regular season guy, and he's not the guy who's going to take you over that hump in the playoffs. And again, when you have the better coach and you have the MVP of the league, and you're up 2-3 games to 2 in a series, again, I just expect you to win one of the two. I mean, like I don't think that's a leap beyond. Again, we can go back to the Hawks series, same deal. I mean, again, like Joel Embiid was the best player on the court in that Hawks series. Sixers up 3-3 games to 2 in that series. I expect you to win one of these two games, especially when
he hasn't imposed his will in any series in I can't remember when. And this is where, like, I don't know. I don't think, like, and it wasn't that he just struggled, Roy. He went to tank. Like, whenever Al Horford zipped him up immediately whenever Horford got a couple extra stops, he just hung his head and quit. And frankly, I don't think, for me personally, I don't think I'll ever get over it. Like, that was, like, for an MVP – frankly, who's been politicking for this award for years, like, and had fans do it, media, like, and you have this ceremony, great ceremony, and then in games 4, 6, and 7, you got, like, thrown in a locker by a Dominican with really good skin. I really don't think I will – no, like, that was – and I don't really say this about athletes because I feel like, I don't know, like, you can tell when an athlete just flats out, like, just, I hate the youth, didn't have heart, and B didn't play. Like, he got, no, Al Horford took whatever was in his chest. I don't even know if it's pumping, like, blood or anything. Snatched his soul. I still remember that game 4. If people think, like, I don't know, game 7 was bad, just imagine if you would have blown that game, unless Harden goes, like, saves Embiid's rear end. What's the narrative then when, like, you literally, like, Embiid could have been responsible for, like, all the losses?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, if we're going to run it back, I mean, they barely won game 1. They barely won game 4 if it wasn't for James Harden, like super heroics on that. Like, again, this team could have got, you know, that Sixers pack could have been in the air after game 5, you know, if we're being all the way real. And Joel Embiid complaining after game 6, you know, I didn't get enough touches. I didn't get the ball. Well, again, like, if you're the MVP of the league, you got to demand the ball. Like, again, this ain't on Doc Rivers, man. Like you never see a case where, again, look at all the stars in the league. Look at Giannis and look at Kevin Durant, look at LeBron. They will never go a 4-minute stretch at the end of a fourth quarter in a tight game and not get a shot up. I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, they'll literally bring the ball out of bounds if they have to get a shot up. So you can't say, oh, I didn't get the ball, like whatever. That's No. You are the MVP. You have to take control of the game. Just like Jason Tatum took control of that game, game six, when he was 1-for-13 and still kept shooting. Like, that's what, like, yeah, again, 33 points a game, that's great. And 11 rebounds, whatever you average during the regular season. None of that matters if you can't be counted on with 5 minutes to go, you know, up to in a closeout game in your own building. I'm sorry.
He doesn't belong. Roy, he doesn't belong in that tier anymore. He doesn't, period.
All right, well, let me ask you guys. Let me ask Chris Stevens. Let me ask you this question. Because, again, we've seen superstars, you know, kind of, you know, break up against our butt up against the ceiling and finally break through, you know, maybe year 9, year 10, like down the road, like Dirk didn't win his title until like later in his career. Is there a possibility? Do you see a possibility where again, Joel Embiid can kind of, you know, exercise these demons, maybe not this year, but maybe, you know, in a year or two and break through and then finally kind of get back fully back in the good graces of Sixers fans?
I don't see it. Hmm. And it's unfortunate because this is somebody that we've defended since the draft of 2014. You know, that's
unconditionally, blindly, irrationally. That's where I feel that's why this hurt more. I'd say this hurt more than the Simmons game, because there was unconditional support for Simmons. It was from idiots. But like, I don't know, like the majority of the fan base was like, okay, as long as we have Joel, he won the MVP, that we have a realistic chance to kind of break through. And I've been racking my brain for days, and I can't remember a big player, not even in Philly, because I can't even, because like, I don't know, like Philly hasn't had that many superstar players like this. I can't remember a superstar in any sport that went out like this. Like, just, I hate these words. He went out like a coward.
Let's look around the city really quickly. Bryce Harper knew last July that he needed Tommy John surgery. He said, just take me out the field, get me 3 plate appearances a night, and I'll do my best. This team was within a couple of strikes of winning the World Series.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts did something to his shoulder. Would have been easy for the Eagles to say, okay, it's not going to happen this year. Let's shut it down. We're getting ready for the offseason. He said, no, just give me 2 weeks. And within one possession of winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Look around the city. You have guys who literally bust their humps for the city that people complain about booing Santa Claus, throwing batteries at Michael Irvin, too hard to play for and all that. And you can look around at the baseball and football teams, and even the doggone soccer teams. Let's keep it real here. How many people really want to drive to Chester, you know, voluntarily? But people do it because that soccer team gives 110% every time they're on a pitch. Yeah, and no. if you're going to complain about, you know, not getting your touches or, you know, throwing your teammates under the bus, there's a thing that my mom says is a common denominator with everything in life. And the common denominator to this team not being able to get over the hump is Joel Embiid. And that's why I say I don't think it'll happen. He'll probably end up lucking into a championship if he goes and joins Jimmy in Miami or whatever. Doesn't matter for us, but, you know, it'll you know, soothe his soul. But as far as in this city, I think he's done. I think he's done.
No. Yeah, no, I don't. Like, I – because, like Chris said, he's been beloved in this town, and people have gone to bat for him time after time after time. I don't know how he reacts to adverse reaction, because he's never got it. Like, I cannot remember once in the entire time Embiid's here that he's even had to deal with a boo. He doesn't get booed.
Game 3 in their building, he gets the MVP award, has a ceremony, his family comes out, his son comes out, half the building's crying. They got the video on the board. Adam Silver presents him the award. I thought he was a made man in this town after this, man. This was like 2 weeks ago. I thought Joel Embiid was a made man before that game tipped off 2 weeks ago.
Well, you didn't think he'd choke? No, yeah. Like, in your wildest dream.
How do you go from a made man to this in 2 weeks? It's 2 weeks.
This is the Sixers. Like, I don't know. They have invented. No, and I keep saying, for the amount of investment you make on this team, the rate of a return you get is like A nickel. You don't get anything back other than needing to go to a doctor to get your blood pressure medicine raised. Like, it really is. I can't remember another team. Because there have been Philly teams that have disappointed. We're old. We've seen them all. But they have never, I mean, ever come this consistently. It's not like just one year where, like, I don't know, like, it's not like 2011 Phillies where, like, they lost to a Chris Carpenter, like, I don't know, like, where Ryan Howard, like splits his leg in half. Like, I don't know. Right. This is year after year. And the insanity just gets worse. Like, I don't know. No one, I'm telling you, you couldn't, at the beginning of the playoffs, you like, first we thought, oh, man, like, this team has more ups and downs than the scream machine. I quit. I'm done being a fan of this team. I'm one of these people that might need to sign one of those applications for, like, a fandom of another team. I might need to see, can someone accept me as, like, a Magic fan?
I need to figure out, and again, you guys are not doing a good job of this, but I need to figure out if there's a way that is there any way that I can have a positive outlook on next season? Like, is there anything? Anything within reason that can happen? Like, is there anything Daryl Morey can do this summer that by the time October rolls around, I'm like, you know what? This team can do it. They can make another run. They can make a run. They can make it. No, I'm serious. I'm not trying to be funny.
No, like,
there's nothing they can do.
No, there is absolutely nothing.
There's no reasonable way you can bring Dame Lillard here, you're saying.
You have to stop with this Dame Lillard thing.
Dame time, man. I mean, Lillard is coming here in my mind.
Roy, I know you're playing radio right now, but deep down in your soul, you know there is no shot in hell that the Sixers team is coming back. This is Jerry Cooney. They're Jerry Cooney. Like, I don't know. They got knocked on the ground. They're done.
I have to agree with Mr. Domingo on this one, because here's the thing. If you lose Harden, there's nobody out there that you can get for a discount, even though the collective bargaining agreement has made it so that discounts are now more possible than they were in CBA's past. But if you're talking about trading for Dame Lillard, you know it's got to be zero for zero. And at this point, I've seen more from Tyrese Maxey to suggest that he could be a guy that could shoulder the load. The only reason Tyrese Maxey had a bum postseason, it really wasn't that bad, honestly, was because people just kept kind of trying to play cake to Fat Suit Boy. And if you just go ahead and get, you know, just send him to King of Diamonds, send him to whatever, you know, the Gold Club, whatever gentleman's establishment that he likes to frequent, Delilah's, I don't know. Just send him there. Send him there. Turn the offense over to Maxey, because Maxey plays with more heart and gut and determination than anybody that I've seen in Sixers uniform probably since Allen Ezell Iverson. So just give him the reins. But other than that, you know, if Harden walks, then this is a team that might maybe stay out of play-in, maybe.
No, they're like with Harden, you'll get, like, because I feel like, I don't know, like, what do you get if you trade Tobias Harris? What do you get from him? Two role players? What do they do for you?
They can grab people.
You probably can't even get a good, you know, you can't even get a good cheese stick with Tobias.
This is how confident I am.
Geno's.
This is how confident I'm. I'd be willing to put $300 of my own money to say this era is over. Like, they will not do better than what they were this season. They'll be at best a fifth seed and most likely six or seven.
Six or seven. Well, you're assuming that Harden comes back or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So with Harden, with Embiid, with Tyrese Maxey, with contract year Tobias, this team is a six or seven seed.
Oh no! They're a four or five seed.
Okay,
but it's the same thing. Like, I don't know. And this time they won't win a playoff round.
All right. Look, I am the optimist, and Chris Stevens. I know you said that Houston doesn't have, you know, they're not necessarily motivated to give you anything back for James Harden. But if they want to save cap space, again, let's assume you could trade James Harden to Houston. Get Kevin Porter Jr. back, who they don't like for whatever reason, and maybe like some ancillary, some rando dudes, and maybe like a couple like late picks. You're not going to win this year. I get it. But Kevin Porter Jr., Tyrese Maxey, James Harden, Joel Embiid, contract year, Tobias Harris. I mean, again, this year's a wash. I understand that. But isn't that a decent core group to kind of build on?
It's not a core.
I said, Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey is not a core group to build on?
Roy, really think Joel Embiid is going to bounce back from this embarrassment?
I have no reason to believe that he will. Yeah, I can't say yeah. Look at him.
No,
I thought he was going to bounce back after 2019 when I saw him crying in the locker room, crying in the tunnel.
No. This is what,
that was 4 years ago, and now he wants more playoff like reps, whatever that means.
He's a second banana. He's an upper tier.
MVP, not bony as hell.
Call what you will. Call a spade a spade. He's a make a wish MVP. He's Nicholas. You know that guy the WWE gave the tag team belt? He's that guy. Yeah. All right. No, I'm telling you, man. All right. I'm serious, man. Like I in my oh, four man. In my like 40
you're,
years
you
of watching.
Done.
No, you're in done like 37 man. Years of watching. I know. Oh, I mean you like this Ricky Waters did a for who for what in game one of a regular season game. This dude went belly up in game four, game six, and seven. Period.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. That Nicholas line got me. so you're done. I can't
I don't think all I right, will like I don't think I'll like if they retain Harden, I 1,000,000% won't watch a game. If they don't, I might watch a game every 2 weeks.
All right, we are not topping that today. We're not topping that. We're doing basketball. We can't have another basketball conversation because I can't. That Nicholas line was amazing. We got Chris Stevens here with us again at CJ Wrights and Thangs on Twitter, and he is our resident wrestling expert. So we got to talk a little bit of Squared Circle before we get him out of here. Before we get into anything that's coming up in the next couple of weeks at Night of Champions, let me ask you a question, because we talked about this on the show last week, and I want to pose this to you. Is Bad Bunny the best celebrity wrestler ever?
Absolutely. Like, you can put him – like, there have been a few guys that have acquitted themselves very nicely. One, Dennis Keith Rodman, and as much as I hate to say it, Karl Anthony Malone. When those two were going at it in WCW, that was fun. Mr. T, of course, the original celebrity wrestler, him and Hogan High – headlining the first WrestleMania where they beat Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful. But no, when you talk about a guy who, I'll say 75% of people who listen to his music don't know what he's saying, because if they knew what they were saying, they would be like, oh wow, he's really kind of hardcore. Yeah. But you know, when you can put a pay-per-view on La Isla Bonita and have it turn out, and you can get pops for people like Savio Vega, mm-hmm. and Carlito, down to chewing on the apple and spitting it in Dom Mysterio's face. Bad Bunny is absolutely the peak. Like, this dude took it upon himself to learn how to perform a Canadian Destroyer in his first WrestleMania appearance. Yeah. Like, this is a guy who literally just gets it. And it's not like, you know, some people, you know, come in, do the WWE thing for clout, Logan Paul. But, you know, that you can tell that Bad Bunny, in the quote of Mike Epps from Friday After Next, he would die for this. Like, he's legitimately a hardcore fan. Like, this dude, I mean, I know him and Damian Priest are cool, but you couldn't tell that they were cool during that match, because they just waylaid the mess out of each other with everything from kendo sticks to garbage cans. So I think Bad Bunny absolutely is the greatest celebrity wrestler to ever set foot in a ring. WCW, AEW, WWE, he's tops.
You mean he's better than Rick Ross?
I don't know. Ross be on the mic talking crazy.
He's got
a case.
I will shoot Logan Paul some bail, because he has had some really good matches since he came in WWE. But the night I saw Bad Bunny take that table bump through on a Raw, on just a regular Monday Night Raw, I'm like, all right, this dude is really about that business. Like, again, as they say every single time he shows up, he is the most streamed artist in the world. You don't need to be taking table bumps. You don't need to be going through tables on a regular edition of Raw. No. I mean, like, that's above and beyond the Call of Duty here. So I have come to the light. I have officially embraced the fact that Bad Bunny is the best celebrity wrestler of all time, edging out Judy Bagwell. And I'm kind of excited to see what happens, you know, next with this guy. Because again, like, they're in a pretty good spot again with him, with Logan Paul, you know, with the even that they're part-timers, they're in a pretty good spot, you know, when they build these pay-per-views. Like, you don't have to rely on, you know, the guys that we see every week or the guys that we don't see every week. You know, shout out to Roman Reigns. We'll talk about Roman Reigns in a second. Night of Champions, new world heavyweight title, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Mr. Stevens, who should go home with the gold?
Well, first of all, we know they're going to turn it out anyway. Yeah. So, I mean, that absolutely is going to probably be on. If Dave Meltzer gives that thing anything less than 4.5 stars, then somebody has to run him to fade. That, because AJ and Seth are going to turn it out. But we talked about this on previous shows. The MVP of 2022 for WWE was absolutely Seth freaking Rollins. Mm-hmm. He's making a strong case for being MVP in the first half of 2023. So I think you have to put it on him. I mean, granted, AJ Styles has won every championship known to man. I mean, he's had a great career. It would be a nice little send-off for him. You know, thank you, Alan, for the memories. But if you want to have a world champion on your flagship show, and whether people choose to believe it or not, Monday Night Raw is still the flagship show, you need a flagship athlete carrying that belt, and it's got to be Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, as we said, you just said, you know, the MVP, been the MVP or one of the MVPs, at least, in the conversation for the last year, year and a half, 2 years of WWE. And, you know, we've had this discussion before, like, guys at that level don't necessarily need the belt. Like, Seth Rollins doesn't need to have the title to be as popular as he is. And I think the title would do more for AJ Styles. I think it would do more for, you know, by proxy or by extension, the OC. So do you see a world where AJ Styles could win the title to kind of bring him up to that, you know, that world title class, is, you know, the same level as the Kevin Owens, the Seth Rollins, the Sami Zayns, the people in that title picture on the Raw side?
I do. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say that, you know, AJ Styles, you know, some, you know, as Chris Domingo would say, a make a wish kid. But I mean, this is a guy who's been wrestling all over the world for 20 plus years. I mean,
right.
We've seen him, you know, do things in TNA that, you know, him and Kurt Angle, like, I really think they both should have their, you know, their brains tested, because those were some foolish moves that both of those guys were doing. Yeah. Back in the TNA days. But, you know, even now in WWE, he still carries a crowd. He still, you know, is in very good shape to perform, you know, things like, you know, the Phenomenal Forearm and, you know, the Styles Clash and all that good stuff. So, I mean, granted, the only thing I have a problem is, you know, his mic work is kind of handy. But, you know, yeah. As far as, like, you know, if you're going to put it on a guy that is, like, you know, a wrestler by trade, you can't do much better than AJ Styles. So, yeah, I think it's a world he could do it. But I really would like to see Seth do it. But, yeah, there's a world that AJ can do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting build-up these next couple of weeks to that match. And like you said, that match is going to be at least four-plus stars easy at Night of Champions. We're also going to get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defending the Unified Tag Belts at Night of Champions. But they will do it against Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa and not the Usos. We found that out last week after Roman Reigns mushed Jimmy Uso in the face. Again, Roman Reigns, disrespecting his cousins yet again, and still not getting any sort of repercussions. I don't know if you guys saw the news about the rumors that kind of dropped earlier this week, but there are rumors that after this match happens in Night of Champions, there will be a match at Money in the Bank between the cousins themselves, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, versus the Usos, presumably for the tag team belts.
I do not know.
Chris Domingo,
you know, belts. I feel that. I feel that the Usos are going to come out to try to help Roman and Solo, and it backfires.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I feel like, I don't know, this Sami Kevin tag team has some legs. They have a lot of feuds, I think, in the pipeline, Judgment Day. Like, I don't know. Like, you can do a lot of stuff with Sami and Kevin as the tag. Like, what are you doing with the Usos? Well, like, you're just feuding with, like, I don't, like, I feel that these four can feud without a tag belt. You know, because I feel like, I don't know, in the end, all this is going to end up Jay versus Roman at SummerSlam. So I feel that, like, I don't know, like, and besides, this guy can't have 9 titles. Come on.
No, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised to see them go over the visual of him coming out on SmackDown with 4 belts, you know, the night after Night of, well, the week after Night of Champions. That's a really good visual. And then he comes in the ring. It's like, yo, me and Solo, your little brother, did something that you guys couldn't do. And then finally, Jay and Jimmy finally say, you know, man, we ain't suckers. Like, yo, you want some of this? Come get some. Like, that's a good thing. Like, that's a good thing to build to it at Money in the Bank, man. Like, I like it. I dig it. I can see it. like you said, obviously we get the Roman J at SummerSlam or whatever, but Roman.
But then what do you do with the tag belts after that?
What do you do with it? Like you basically don't know what to do with them now. I mean, like, no, Roman, like Kevin and Sammy shouldn't have both sets of tag belts right now. Like, this is stupid. Like, if Roman had to give up a belt, then one of those two dudes should have gave up a belt. Like, this is stupid. Yeah.
No, oh, I feel what? Like, I don't know. They got to do something with this. Like, because you, like, I'll say it, this Bloodline thing is getting stale big time.
I think there's some legs to it because
they need to get those legs in motion because like I don't know there's so many times no you really need Roman to beat Jay like Jimmy's ass period like I don't yeah. know like you need that visual
yeah which is going to happen in Money well I assume it happens in Money in the Bank but yeah no like we're getting there like it's kudos to them for keeping this much juice on the story for a guy who's there like once every 4 weeks. Because again, it's hard to have this when the guy's not around. Like that's why like you needed to have another world title because it's hard to kind of have storylines to this level when the man just isn't on the program and he never wrestles much less is around. So it's hard to keep this story around. But the man can be off for 3 weeks, come here, ask for an apology, mush a guy in the face, and be like, oh man, I'm back on. Like it's up. Like the storyline is back up. So I'm a fan of this. You already heard how I would book it, Chris Stevens. How would you book it if you had the pen?
Honestly, I would go ahead and just jumpstart the madness this Saturday. Like, just have Roman and Solo just waylay the mess out of Kevin and Sammy. You think like, okay, this is going to be domination, and then you got some guys in some hood and some hoodies, or one of the cameramen right. jumps up, starts attacking Solo, and then Roman's like, who are these guys? And then it's Jimmy and Jay, like. Finally we've had enough and right. then Kevin and Sammy steal the win. And then you just have those guys just, you start fracturing the Bloodline that way. Ooh. But if you want to wait until, Money in the Bank to have Jay watch Jimmy, get taken to the woodshed by Roman. That's a fair thing. But if it were me, I would just literally just go ahead and start the madness right now.
I like that. Let me give you the pencil again before we move on to the Money in the Bank. Cody Lesnar 2. Obviously, we're gonna get a rematch between those two guys. How should this one play out in the build to obviously again Cody is, at some point probably next Mania he's gonna be holding at least one of these world titles. How do you think that this Cody Lesnar 2 thing should play out as we build to that?
The payoff has to be SummerSlam, I think. So
okay. Yeah, I agree. Just like a DQ, like a cool DQ, or like I don't know where, like somehow they've hit 10 notes on Cody Rhodes so far. Like I don't know, like getting like a roll up win on Brock or like I don't say a cheap win. It was a fluky win, but at some point you need him to go over on Brock in a Hell in a Cell in a Puerto Rican street fight, in a Texas street fight, in a country boa sweet fight. No, like, but I feel at Night of Champions, this is like a glorified house show. So I feel like these two will brawl. You'll get every guard in the stadium, like holding them back. And then you'll do a DQ.
Chris Stevens, that's how you would book it and kind of draw this out a couple more months.
Absolutely, because I mean you can get so much out of it because it's Brock, it's Cody, and the story, the whole thing about finishing the story. I mean I write books for a living part time, mm-hmm. so nobody wants to get to the meat and potatoes of the story 4 or 5 chapters in. You've got to draw the story out, towards the end a little bit. So I feel like, yeah, you could probably get some heat, real heat from Brock and Cody over the summer and then had a payoff via SummerSlam. And just as Chris Domingo says, just blood and guts everywhere. And then Cody, finally, vanquishes the beast.
Well, let's start talking about the second book, let's say, of said story, because again, Money in the Bank is coming up after Night of Champions. And that's when they usually set up storylines that take you through, a couple months, depending on how they want to book things. CJ, let me start with you first. If you had the pencil, who wins the men's and the women's Money in the Bank briefcases this year?
Well, I'm going to probably lose some people on the men's pick here. This is an LA Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to see LA Knight with that Money in the Bank briefcase, because he's the Rock. He's Stone Cold Steve Austin on the microphone. He does good work. He's in very good shape to be 40 years old. You've got to, you know what I mean? People went from booing him and cheering for Brayfield Wyatt to saying, yeah, every time he steps out onto the scene. So I would have LA Knight win the men's Money in the Bank. Now, the women's Money in the Bank, I know she just lost. I know she just lost in front of her home crowd, but I'm riding the Zelina Vega train, man. Mm. Give her the Money in the Bank, because I don't know who else you could give it to. I mean, Liv has already had it. Raquel doesn't need it at this point. Asuka doesn't need it, because obviously her and Bianca are going to, end up being, the one of the main events of SummerSlam, I feel like. So right. I just feel like, Zelina deserves a chance, another shot at Ripley. Or if they strangely enough decide to take it off of Rhea and give it to Becky, then you could probably play Zelina back as a heel, and then have her chase Becky. So I would have LA Knight win the men's Money in the Bank, and I have Zelina Vega win the women's Money in the Bank.
I like it. We got a couple minutes left. Chris Domingo, who you got?
I have a hard time disputing both of those. You learn a lot about, a wrestler and the reaction they get when you just put them in a spot that, frankly, you didn't think you'd be in 2 months ago. I mean, no one thought Zelina Vega would be in a world title match against Rhea Ripley, but that crowd and PR loved her, and I feel like, this LWO rub is a great thing. And you know what? She's got it, she has an amazing backstory with her dad, dying in 9/11. Unfortunately, for better or worse, man, that's a story you got to tell. That's a tearjerker that will get grown-ass men like me crying. And other than Io, who I think really shouldn't have the running back, I think she should win a championship outright. Liv is on, Zelina's on that Liv Morgan thing where, the cagey underdog where they kind of opportunistic, but Io's fantastic, and the match she had with Bianca at Backlash was awesome. I think, once again, she showed her colors that, she could be, she's probably got more mainstream, viability than Asuka. Because it's that aerial stuff. Because Asuka's a very, low, ground and pound, where Io's, the Empress of the Sky. All right, long-winded. Men, only choice is LA Knight. It's the only choice. Yeah. Just put the briefcase on that dude. Tell him to pop promos. He's slowly turning into a baby face. I think he works both ways. He's a good baby. He's an amazing heel, but I feel like it's that organic turn where you have the crowd. It's like Rollins. He was a heel for a long time, and then people just started chanting his song, and he just became a mega baby face.
Yeah, he's a good choice. I thought last week maybe I was someone else who I was talking to. I agree with all your picks. I would love to see Dom with the briefcase. Dominic Mysterio with that briefcase. He's already a heat magnet, but he would be a super heat magnet if you threw that briefcase on him. So I might throw Dom the briefcase and give him that rub. But again, we can kind of talk about that at a later time when we get closer to Money in the Bank. I do want to let Mr. Stevens give his little shout out and his little promo before we get out of here. Chris, again, thank you as always for joining us. But before we get you out of here, we want to do you a solid and let folks know where they can find you on Twitter and let them know what else you got going on behind the scenes.
Well, Roy and Chris, thank you guys for always. It is always a pleasure to be the third man, no Hulk Hogan. But you can find me on the Twitter machine at CJ Writes and Things. That's CJWRITES, the letter N, THANGS. It's all one word. And if you have trouble looking for me, just look for Roy Burton, because he'll probably be kicking me off the timeline for some foolishness that I may or may not have said. My official website is chrisstevenswrites.wordpress.com. There you can find out that I cover black college sports for HBCUsports.com. I also cover high school basketball here in Delaware at something called First Day Hoops Report. And I'm restarting my music podcast On the Groove Line very soon. So I'll be reaching out to Roy and Chris to join me with that. So just look for me on Twitter at CJ Writes and Things, and you'll be able to find out all this good stuff that I'm up to there.
Yeah, please do yourself a favor. You know, follow CJ on Twitter. CJ writes and things. Again, an awesome. Again, if you're a music fan, a sports fan, wrestling fan, you know, car fan. I mean, like CJ is always down for a great conversation. And then when he gets out of pocket, again, just tag me at the BS line. I will come in. I will swoop in. I will do what I need to do to escort him off the timeline, because it happens every now and then. Because again, like, the man forgets that, you know, there is a second and third shift Twitter that comes online. That sees things that shouldn't be seen. So again, follow Chris on Twitter, again, at CJ Rising Things. CJ, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And that is it. Thanks for us this week. 106.5 FM, WPPM LP Philadelphia. Until next week, we are out of here. Mr. Domingo, take us out, please.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you guys.
Hey y'all, it's Garth.
The Big 615. You're going to hear the newest that country music has to offer. At the same time, you're going to hear the newest that the country classics have to offer. I want to hear the new single from George Strait, and I want to hear it right beside the new single from Luke Combs. That's the thing we call the Big 615.
Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. Or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.